presume most of you are regular comers, is that correct? Any newcomers? Anyone coming here for the first time? No. They're too shy to say. Yeah, you're coming here, giving up your valuable Sunday afternoon, which could be used for all kinds of things. In the modern world, they've discovered all kinds of things to do, and they're busy finding out more things to do. Roller skating, I don't even know, I'm kind of out of touch with it all. I'm not very modern. I'm one generation gap away from the Western world. I left 30 years ago the Western world, so I'm out of touch with it all. They've invented so many things. How to waste our time. Having wasted our time working all week, we waste the rest of the time also by roller skating, watching TV, sleeping, eating more than we need to, playing computer games, working during our holidays to earn more money, and so on and so on and so on, and then we come to the end of life and then die. Right? It happens to everyone. And what do you do after that? Having wasted your whole life, you go on wasting another life. You get born again and you waste another life. And then you can waste life after life. As a human being, a tree, a dog, a cat, a hippopotamus. Who would like to be a hippopotamus? No volunteers. Well, I'm not such a yogi that I can convert people into hippopotami. That's the plural of hippopotamus. But don't worry. If we want to be, we can. Whatever we desire, that can be fulfilled. Although not necessarily in the way that we consider it. Just like many people desire to be leaders, to be great people within this world. But there's a limited number of slots to be the great person, to be the numero uno. Who's the number one in Switzerland? Who's the head of the state? Is there a president or what system do they have here? Anyone know? Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Seven people. Seven people. There are seven people. There's no number one. That's really democratic, isn't it? There's a president. They have a rotating president.
Different parties send seven men.
Oh, I see. It became quite complex. I'm trying to give a simple example and I ran into Swiss complexity. Anyway, they're bigger men than us. Men and women, I presume. Because in the modern age, everyone's supposed to be equal. But if there are seven, can't be equal. There'd be three men and four women, or two men and five women, or five men and two women. Two women. All right. Can't have three and a half. We still didn't manage that. Anyway, you may desire to be big. The President of the United States of America is theoretically the most powerful person in the world today. Not everyone can be the President of America. All glories to Krishna for that. People desire to be great, but not everyone. To be the President, you have to join either the Republican or the Democratic Party and then go through a whole big long process and get voted, to be the candidate for your party, and then hopefully after you've gone all over the floor looking for the thrown away votes, you could become the president of the United States. But not everyone can do that. There are many, at the beginning, there are many wannabes, those who desire to be, but not everyone can be, only one can be, and that only temporarily also. But for those who desire to be supposedly great, but don't make it, they can maybe make it in another life. You can be a leader in your next life, but not necessarily the president of America. According to our karma, if we have the desire to be a leader, but we don't have the pious activities that are required to take the leadership among men, because it requires some pious activities in previous lives even to become the president of America. It's a funny thing. You do pious activities, you become the president of America, and then you become the head of so many sinful people that you get a huge volume of sinful activities and go, it's like, you know this game Snakes and Ladders? Children play, you go all the way to the top and then you slip down again. So anyway, one may be desirous to be a leader, but not have pious activities to become the leader among human beings or the leader in the heavenly planets called Indra. So you can become a leader of a pack of dogs. Your desire is fulfilled, but maybe not in the way that you had envisaged. At least in India or Sri Lanka, where many visitors to this temple are from Sri Lanka. I presume I didn't go to Sri Lanka. Yeah, I went to Sri Lanka. I didn't go there yet. Maybe Krishna will take me there. So it's a common thing that dogs, stray dogs, wander around the streets of the town at night. It's very lot in Vrindavan, right? And they make a big noise. During the day, they're kind of quiet because they're afraid people will throw stones at them or beat them with a stick or something like this. But at night, they become very bold and they make a lot of noise. And they bark at each other and they bark at everything else. And they just bark because there's no one there to stop them. So they're feeling very big and proud, and among each group of dogs there will be a leader. So someone had the desire to be a leader, and we can become a leader of a pack of dogs. This is how the laws of karma work. You have come to here, you've come to use your valuable time, which could be used for many other things, presumably to come here to learn something about the teachings of Bhagavad Gita, which is certainly the best use of human life. Labdhva sudurlabham idang bahu sambhavante manusham arthatam anityam apihadhira turnam yatejana patedanu mritta yavan nisrayasaya vishya khalu sarvata syat. This is from the teachings of Lord Krishna. Bhagavad Gita means the teachings of Lord Krishna. These are his most famous teachings. He has many other teachings also. The verse I quoted is from Uddhav Gita. Lord Krishna spoke Bhagavad Gita to Arjuna, his disciple. Another disciple is Uddhav. The Uddhav Gita, the teachings to Uddhava, are recorded in the Srimad Bhagavatam. So in Bhagavad Gita, in 700 verses, concisely, there is exposition of reality. What is reality? Who are we? Where do we fit in? What is our duty? What is in our ultimate interest? That is explained in 18,000 verses, the same subject matter with detailed examples in Srimad Bhagavatam. Who's read this whole Bhagavad Gita as it is? You're all regular comers. Please raise your hand. If you haven't read it, please do. Who has it at home but hasn't read it? That's another question. If you haven't read this book, please read it. There are so many books being produced. So many books, so much violence to trees, producing books which are of no ultimate value. Please read this Bhagavad Gita as it is. You can't read any book which is more valuable than this. Srimad Bhagavatam is of the same quality in more detail. If you've read Srimad Bhagavad Gita, then please read Srimad Bhagavatam. Who's read Srimad Bhagavatam? Hold Bhagavatam. Very good. Now, if you've read it once, what's the next thing you want to do? Read it again, isn't it? It's 18,000 verses. There's 18 books this size, which is Srimad. This is one book. And, you know, you might think it's heavy philosophy. Well, life is heavy. And it requires some philosophy to understand it. But actually, this knowledge of Krishna is heavy, yes, but sweet also. It's like some food might be difficult, heavy to digest, but it's very tasty and very nourishing. So this verse, which, let's get back to that verse I was quoting, that Lord Krishna in Uddhav Gita speaks of the value of human life. He states that we have attained this human birth after many, many births. It is by good fortune that we now have this human birth. This human life is more valuable than others. Why is that? The bird life, you don't need to get on a jet. You can just fly as you like. A fish is a natural swimming champion. Talking about dogs, the dogs are smelling champions and hearing champions. There's certain of their senses are more developed than in the human life. So what is the value of human life? Well, it would seem obvious that humans have more intelligence in some ways. But that intelligence is meant for understanding what is our existential position, for asking the right questions. The right questions are, Ke ami kene amai jare tapatroi? Who am I? Who am I? It seems like I'm, you know any Swiss names? Johann Strauss. Is that a famous name? Or just that's like John Smith in English, is it? I don't know, I'm sorry. Anyway, I am, we can give a name, but is that you? Is that really you? What's your name?
Daniel.
You're Daniel. How old are you, Daniel?
I'm 36.
You're 36, okay. Where were you 37 years ago?
In the stomach of my mother.
Well, before that?
I don't know, probably in another body somewhere.
Probably in another body. That means that that's a good answer. So, the entity that we look at and see now, and you'll see in the mirror, who is identified as Daniel, is only about less than 40 years old. But, and maybe probably in another 40 or 50 years, this body, which is now, you know, still fairly young and quite good looking. I'm not doing an advertisement for you here, but it won't be so nice to see, probably, if it's still alive. There'll be many lines on the face. There's one Indian film actress, she was famous about 30 years ago, called Rekha. You heard of her? Yeah. I was asking recently in India, is she still famous? Said about it. Now she, Rekha means line. So I said, now she must have so many Rekha on her face, so many lines on her face. So this is the sign of the passing of time. The identity, this body was born in England. So I am English. No, I have no ultimate connection with England. And actually, England is also temporary, because that land won't remain there forever. So we are eternal, but we get the body and we identify with that body, but human intelligence is meant for inquiring who actually I am. And why am I suffering? This is a good question, isn't it? Just like we were saying, there are so many things we can do. We can go roller skating or skiing, probably in the hills in Switzerland. There's still snow? No, now it's finished. Too late in the year for snow. Then what else can you do? You can go driving fast cars, motorbikes, playing chess, hiking. That's a popular Swiss pastime, isn't it? Mountain hiking. There are so many things we can do, but we should consider that however much we try to be happy, ultimately we have to suffer. We have to suffer repeated birth, death, old age and disease. Even in Switzerland, where there's enough money, and of course no one thinks there's enough money, but there's enough to cover the... Everyone has their basic needs taken care of, isn't it, in this country? Switzerland is known in the world as a rich country. So there's enough money and there's enough facilities, and the government provides their arrangements for electricity, water. Even if you don't work, the government looks after you. But still, people are miserable. People are not happy. People are frustrated. So why is there suffering? We should ask these questions. And the quest to receive answers to these questions and make a solution to the problem, the real problem of repeated birth and death, is possible in human life. It's not possible as a dog, as a cat, as a tree, as a monkey, as a hippopotamus, as a snake, as a worm in stool. Or there's 8,400,000 species of life, of which 8 million are non-human, and only in human life do we have the opportunity to inquire this kind of question. So Lord Krishna states that having got this opportunity, then we should take it very seriously. And understanding that I'm going to have to drop down dead soon, it's not going to be very long, even if Daniel lives to be 120, which isn't very likely, it's still not much time. We don't have much time. The years are passing on. And we are finding, our generation, that all our friends, we have many friends, because in our Krishna conscious movement, we try to be friendly and with all our compatriots, and we have all over the world so many devotees, and they're all beginning to die. A lot of them. I don't even know how many. Yesterday I got an email, I didn't even know. One of the devotees I knew for so many years, he passed away in March. Samba, maybe you don't know him, he's from Samba, England. I know him. From England. I didn't know he passed away. I don't get the news on the internet. So I just got, someone sent me an email. So, we're beginning to see that, me too, soon, sooner. We say theoretically, philosophically, we all have to pass away soon, but there comes an age when you see your friends passing away, and then, it's going to be, soon means pretty soon. We don't have much time. So Lord Krishna states that before you fall down, the word is literally, it's kind of, you might think it's a gross example, but it's true, isn't it? Sometimes people say, oh, this is really heavy philosophy. Well, it is, but it's true. We can try and pretend that it's not, life isn't miserable. We can shunt off all the old people to old folks' homes and pretend they don't exist. But it's a fact. Old age is suffering. Disease is suffering. Death is suffering. Rebirth is suffering. Life in the material world is suffering. It's heavy. But the human life is the opportunity to solve that problem. Therefore, Lord Krishna says, having got this opportunity, we should take it. Now, what do you think? Well, what about my skiing? What about my hiking? What about my playing chess, computer games, and all the other things I could be doing on my 2 days a week free when I'm not working to get the opportunity to do all these things? I can enjoy myself in so many ways. But Lord Krishna says, you can, but to do that, you have to get born again. And we already did it. Just like you like to go, what's that, hang gliding? You can, you know that, what is that exactly? Actually, I heard of you. It's kind of like cross between parachuting and
paragliding.
That's it, okay. Yes, you kind of hang in the air. And it's fun. Bungee jumping. I saw someone do that at the Rath Yatra in London. The bungee jump means you jump from, you pay, I think it's £25 at the time, it's probably more now, that was 10 years ago, over the River Thames. You climb up a huge crane and then you jump off. And you have a big string or chain or something, and just before you hit the river, you don't. That's the end of the chain. You have to pay, and it must be quite frightening, but it's fun, I suppose. That's why people do it. So we already had these opportunities, just like this, the dropping down very quickly. The hawk, they do that. They're hovering in the sky. You know this? Hawk, kestrel, something like this. And they drop. And that's one less mouse in the world. They catch a mouse and eat it. Or paragliding, like the seagulls. They fly like that. So they must be enjoying that, isn't it? Yeah. When the gull is flying, and they don't really fly, they hardly move their wings at all. They just catch the air wave and float on it. And they must be enjoying that. But they also have to suffer. Birth, death, old age and disease. You may say, why so pessimistic and miserable? Not pessimistic or miserable, it's just realistic. The reality of this material world is that it's miserable, but we are very optimistic that there is, beyond this material world, there is a situation which is eternal, blissful. There's no birth, death, old age and disease. There's only pure, unadulterated happiness, not the happiness of enjoying our senses, but the happiness of being with Krishna. You can see there's a picture here on the wall of Krishna embracing his servant who has come to him from this material world. So this Krishna comes to teach us, and you've come to hear about that. And I've come to speak about this. We're sent by Srila Prabhupada that we should speak. And while we speak, we also hear. And we also become more convinced that there, beyond this material world, there is a better place. To be realistic, this material world is not a very nice place. But at the same time, we nurture a hope within our hearts of that there should be something better than this. That is described in the Vedic literature. Parastasmatu bhavanyo vyakto vyaktat sanatanaha yasya sarveshu bhuteshu. What is that? Vinashati nanashti. When everything in this, beyond this material world, which is created and destroyed again and again, there is the spiritual world, which is never destroyed. There is no destruction there. There is pure pleasure there, but it is of a quality which, as long as we are in material consciousness, we can't understand, because material consciousness means the consciousness that I should try to enjoy. And spiritual consciousness means love. And love means that let me act for the pleasure of another and attain pleasure in this way. We don't think how I will get my pleasure, but we simply think how to give happiness to others. And the object of love is Krishna. So that's what I came to say. There are many things to say. Many, many things. Therefore, we have many, many lectures. and many, many books. And we invite you to come again and again and again. Or if you like, stay. Don't go. You can stay here. And offer your services, offer your life to Krishna. And understand that this life, whatever Switzerland has to offer, Krishna has something a lot better. Without the bad side. Whatever Switzerland may have to offer, they can't offer freedom from birth, death, old age and disease. But Krishna offers that we're not meant for suffering in this material world. Come to Krishna. Live happily forever with Krishna. Sing with Krishna. No entrance fees to the concert. The entrance fee is surrender to Krishna. To offer ourselves, we offer our whole very beings. Then we can sing with Krishna, live with Krishna, laugh with Krishna, fight with Krishna. That's friendly fighting. Krishna means God and a lot more. We think of God some big, it's true, he's the biggest, regal, imposing figure. Krishna is God. But he's the supreme person, which means that apart from sitting on his throne, he also likes to be happy with his friends. So we can be, Krishna's inviting to be his friend. So this is worth coming to hear about, isn't it? That's why you're coming. That better than anything else you could possibly do on a Sunday afternoon or at any time within your, within our lifetime or at any time within the whole creation of the material world, the best thing we can do is hear about Krishna and gain knowledge of Krishna and inspiration to serve Krishna so that we can perfect this human life, get free from birth and death, and go to Krishna. And that is the essence of Bhagavad Gita and the essence of Srimad Bhagavatam. And we request you, please read these books. There are so many things to be read. Please read Bhagavad Gita as it is, Srimad Bhagavatam, and all the literature of the Krishna consciousness movement, which gives a valuable knowledge of the purpose of life and how to attain it. So that's my addition to what Purusha Trai Maharaj said. And I suppose if there are any questions or comments, we could take them. Anyone like to ask any question? Any question, of course, means in relationship to Krishna consciousness. It's not a jamboree of discussions of anything. What's this? Is this something to drink? Ribena? You want some? I don't know. Maybe it was tea at one point. It's cold now. Yeah, 8,400,000 species of life. Yeah.
But most of them, 8 million, are not human.
Most of them are non-human.
8 million are not human.
Yeah, yeah.
But these 400,000 are human.
Yeah. So, what's the question? What are the 400,000 human species?
Human like us.
Well, the what are the 400,000 species of human? Now, in the Shastra, the Vedic scriptures, it's mentioned Jiva Jati, and that's translated as species. I don't think it exactly corresponds with the modern scientific idea of species, which also, as far as I know, is not among scientists. They'll give a general definition to the public, but among themselves, they're not clear exactly what species means anyway. It's like in Vedic science, the term element is there, but it doesn't correspond to the modern periodic table elements. But the 400,000 species of humans, well, we find in the Shastra is described various kinds of demigods and human like species which don't fall within the other categories. So that would presumably include the various human-like forms of life on the planets of the rishis, the upper four planetary systems, the demigods and the heavenly planets, the demigods like the Gandharvas, Kinnaras, Kimpurushas, and then in the lower planetary systems, presumably includes all of them, not just humans on this planet. You want to say anything more about that, Maharaj? You want to take the mic?
And also in this world, there are so different levels of consciousness. And then people who are very low consciousness, and then medium and high consciousness. There are different types of human beings. There's the aborigines. So many different types of aborigines and like this. Different races. And as Maharaj mentioned, even outside this planet that we are living, also we have different societies.
Yeah. I just mentioned that, but that's an important point in Vedic cosmological understanding doesn't tally with that of modern science. According to Vedic cosmological understanding, all the bodies within the universe, the planets and the stars, they're all inhabited. And not necessarily by beings with exactly the same kind of forms that we have. But if we accept that there is a God who's created the universe, then it would seem, which is reasonable, and it's actually unreasonable to say that everything comes, is just here, or it's just coming to being by chance. It doesn't. Anyway, that's another discussion. But that he didn't create the whole universe with all the stars just for lovers to make poems about. They're inhabited also. Any other questions, please?
Yeah. Talked before about the eternal world and about the spirit is also eternal. So why did our spirit, the eternal spirit, come to this material world? What is the purpose of that?
The question is that we are eternal spirit souls, that was mentioned, and we're talking about the eternal world. Then why are we here? If we're eternal, why are we in the non-eternal world? That is the question. And I'll ask Purusha Trai Maharaj to answer that.
Exactly what is the will of the Supreme Lord. This great Acharya, Madhvacharya, once he said that he gave a very hard statement. The Vaishnava is the one who believe that the Supreme Lord has the supreme will. And then the Supreme Lord wants to be like this, one temporary existence in this world, and here there is no stability. Here is a place where there is suffering, and here everything, there is a duality, there is something good, something bad. There is the pleasure, there is suffering, there is knowledge, there is ignorance, there is light, there is darkness. This is the characteristic of this world. And then the Supreme Lord wants the words like that. And we have to accept that. Bhattacharya stressed that the Vaishnavas that accept the situation, that I'm here in this world. And then I have provided the mercy of the Supreme Lord to leave this world. And this Krishna is even, Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita, he said that this is very rare, because there is the modes of nature acting, and then these people become completely bewildered by these things and try to be happy here in this world. But very few persons, Krishna says in Bhagavad, out of millions of people, some are searching for perfection. And those who are searching for perfection, very few really have this connection with me like that. And that Krishna wants to see the individual soul in this world. When one can understand the reality, as Maharaj mentioned, and surrender to the Lord, and then this is like that picture, Krishna himself embraced, because, oh, you God, this is a very, very wonderful victory. And we have to face this situation. The Prabhupada gave the example, for example, if you are in one building, in 10th floor, and someone knocked the door, and then the building is in fire, and then we start asking, but who puts the fire? What is the reason? Then, no, you have to flee away. And then we are in this situation. We can understand the reality of the life. And then we can see ahead the future. The human being has this capacity to foresee in the future what you can get. And then not looking behind, always ahead. And what he can do now for having a better future, for the best future. The situation. And then we trust in Krishna. Krishna, we are here, and by mercy of Krishna we are connected to him, and then we trust in him. We can go ahead and be free from these perfumes.
Well, I can just briefly state what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said in this regard. Krishna bhuli se jiva nadi bahira atev maya pari deya shamshar jiva. That the jiva or soul who forgets Krishna and is, since time immemorial, inimical towards him, toward Krishna. For that reason, we suffer in the misery within the world of illusion. So, it's difficult to understand, but in the simple words of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, we forget Krishna and we're here since time immemorial. But as Maharaj says, the building's burning down, the first thing is not to make an investigation into how the fire started. Get out. That's the most important thing. By this example, we can understand that it is difficult to understand. We can understand theoretically that we're meant to be with Krishna. And we're not. And why should we be so stupid as to come away from Krishna? So our acharyas say that rather rather than trying to understand how we have been so stupid, better to become intelligent and get out of here. That's it. That's my contribution to this discussion. And for that, we have to chant Hare Krishna. Follow the process of bhakti yoga. Anything else? Any other questions? Does anyone feel that their Sunday afternoon has been well spent here? You've learned something valuable?
Yes.
Thank you, Maharaj. So please keep on coming for these heavy philosophical discussions. These discussions are not heavy in the sense, not intellectually heavy. Actually, they're not. It's not very difficult to understand what's being discussed. We're not using lots of big, difficult words like, what's that, Weltanschauung. But we are, the philosophy is not so difficult to understand, but it's heavy because it's not armchair philosophy. It's not just some theoretical discussion, but it directly affects our whole existence, our existential position, to use a philosophical term. So it's heavy, but it's purifying. It's liberating. Liberates us from illusion. Hare Krishna. Also, for liberation from illusion, we have the best food in the world. It's called prasadam. How by eating you can become spiritually advanced. That is also being offered. Hare Krishna. I'm also writing some books on the order of Srila Prabhupada. Some of them are available here. Practically, how to practice Krishna consciousness is described in this book. How you can practice Krishna consciousness at home or in an ashram, a beginner's guide to Krishna consciousness. This is one called Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. When God comes himself to worship himself, because bhakti or worship of Krishna is so nice that Krishna himself comes to practice that. That's described, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Brahmacharya and Krishna consciousness. Those who want to practice Krishna consciousness very seriously, this is a good book for them. Is My Memories of Srila Prabhupada. That's self-explanatory. One. Jai Srila Prabhupada, Glorification of Srila Prabhupada. Ramayana and a book called On Pilgrimage in Holy India. So this is a photo tour of some of the holy places of India. So these are some of the books I've written. And if anyone would like to take them, they're available on the book table out there. Hare Krishna. There are also CDs of lectures by myself. It may not be very humble to offer them, but if we think we have something valuable to offer, why not make it more available? Hare Krishna.
Yeah.